بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يسرنا في شبكة بينونة للعلوم الشرعية أن نقدم لكم هذه المادة.
السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.
السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.
الحمد لله رب العالمين، حمدا كثيرا طيبا مباركا فيه، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله وصفيه من خلقه وخليله، صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا. أما بعد، فنيابة عن مركز رياض الصالحين الإسلامي بدبي وعن الأستاذ الفاضل أحمد بن خليفة المهيري وفقه الله، نشكر الله جل وعلا أولاً وآخراً وظاهراً وباطناً على نعمه العظيمة وعلى آلائه الكثيرة وعلى مننه الوفيرة، والتي منها هذه المجالس، مجالس العلم، وهذه الدورات العلمية والمحافل الشرعية، ثم كذلك نشكر بعد شكر الله جل وعلا القيادة في هذا البلد المعطاء الذين سخروا الجهود في توعية الناس وإرشادهم والقيام والإذن بمثل هذه المجالس التي تدل على العناية والرعاية. ثم كذلك الشكر موصول إلى دائرة الشؤون الإسلامية والعمل الخيري بدبي على جهودهم المشكورة المذكورة، والتي هي متتابعة في الخير ومتناسقة في العطاء. ثم كذلك الشكر للشيخين الفاضلين، الشيخ الدكتور خالد الزعابي والشيخ حامد الجنيبي وفقهما الله، على مشاركتهما في هذه الدورة العلمية وحرصهما على إفادة إخوانهم من طلبة العلم. ثم الشكر لهذه الوجوه النيرة الطيبة التي حرصت على الحضور وتكبدت عناء الاستماع واجتهدوا في القدوم إلى هذا المسجد وفي هذه الدروس العلمية حرصاً منهم فيما نحسبهم والله حسيبهم على تحصيل العلم ونيل مراتبه، وعلى شدهم لأزر إخوانهم وحرصهم على النفع والانتفاع من هذه المجالس. ثم كذلك الشكر لمن يستمعون ويتابعون ويحرصون على الاستماع لهذه الدروس عن بعد، والشكر كذلك لكل من شارك أو رتب أو نسق أو اجتهد أو بذل أي مجهود في مثل هذا أو في إقامة مثل هذه المجالس. شكر الله للجميع، كتب الله أجركم ونفع الله بجهودكم وكتب الله لكم أجر نياتكم وأصلح أحوالكم وأقام على الخير حياتكم. ثم الشكر أيضا ولا أنسى الأخوين الفاضلين والأستاذين الكريمين، أخي الأستاذ راحة الأستاذ رشيد، على أيضا تحملهما عناء الرحلة لترجمة هذه الدروس، بارك الله لهما في أعمارهما وأعمالهما. نعم، أطلت عليك لكن سأختصر إن شاء الله.
So the Sheikh of Allah, he began by praising Allah تبارك وتعالى, beseeching Allah to send a salat and a salam upon the messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم, his family and his companions all together. As to proceed, the Sheikh, he mentioned that our dear respected brothers, we would like to express our gratitude on behalf of Markaz Riyad al-Salihin in Dubai, and at its head, Ustad Ahmed Khalifa, for that which they have put forth of tremendous efforts for organizing the likes of this Dora, and likewise, that which they have put forth from efforts and facilitating the likes of these majalis and these gatherings. He says, and we ask Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala to bestow His favor and His bounty and His blessings upon all of those who participated in organizing the likes of these dawrat and organizing these majalis and these gatherings. We would like to thank, after thanking Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, we would like to thank the leader of this land for that which he has facilitated and put forth for from the approval of the likes of these dawrat and the efforts that he has striven to implement. All of this is from that which shows a care and concern for the ri'ayah, for those who are under his care, and for those who are within his land. May Allah Ta'ala bestow his grace and his blessings upon the leader of this land. Likewise, we would like to express our gratitude to the Committee of the Islamic Affairs in Dubai for that which they have put forth of efforts which are tremendous efforts and goodly efforts in the facilitation of the likes of these gatherings and affairs of knowledge within this land. Likewise, we'd like to express our gratitude and our thanks to the two noble and eminent sheikhs, Sheikh Khaled Zaabi, likewise Sheikh Hamid Junaibi, for participating in this dawra along with us. And likewise, from that which they have put forth of care and concern for their brothers, from the students of knowledge, in order to benefit them and to teach them the affairs of their religion. Likewise, we would like to express gratitude to that which we see from all of these faces that have come and those who have traveled from wherever they have traveled from to come to this masjid. And the intention was, and this is how we reckon them, and Allah Ta'ala is their true reckoner, their intention was to seek knowledge for the sake of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, and to acquire ilm, and to mix and mingle and associate with their brothers for the sake of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. And so we would like to ask Allah Ta'ala to put those efforts upon the scales of good deeds. Likewise, we would like to express gratitude to all of those who are following these lessons and listening from afar, online, wherever they may be listening from. And so we would like to express a gratitude to all of those of the individuals that we have named. And we ask Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala to place their efforts upon their scales of good deeds and to write for them the ajr for their intentions and to give them good in this life. Also, we would like to express gratitude to the two brothers, the brother Rashid and the brother Raha, for their efforts and their travel to this land for the sake of translating this dawra. And we ask Allah Ta'ala to bless them and place the efforts upon the scales of good deeds.
طيب. أما موضوع الدرس الأول وهو ما رأيتموه في كتاب فضل علم السلف للحافظ ابن رجب رحمه الله، فإن هذا الكتاب أولا يتميز بموضوعه، وثانيا يتميز بمؤلفه. أما موضوع هذا العلم فهو الحديث عن أمر التفريق بين العلم النافع والعلم غير النافع، وكذلك فيه بيان التزام طريقة سلف هذه الأمة في أمر العلم، وثالثا أهمية البعد عن العلوم الضارة والفنون المفسدة للعقول والمضرة للدين والمعتقد. نعم.
So the first topic that we're going to speak about in my subject is connected to this book that is distinguished in terms of the author who wrote it, and is distinguished as well in terms of its subject matter. It is the book The Virtue of the Knowledge of the Salaf by Ibn Rajab. He says, and the subject matter of this book, it focuses upon the differentiation between beneficial knowledge and knowledge which is not beneficial. And secondly, it focuses upon the path of the Salaf in implementation of knowledge. Thirdly, it focuses upon the importance of distancing oneself from those types of knowledge that are harmful and that are corrupting to one's mind and one's intellect.
أما الأمر الثاني فهو المؤلف، والمؤلف هو الحافظ ابن رجب رحمه الله، العالم المشهور صاحب المؤلفات النافعة، وهو من مدرسة شيخ الإسلام ابن تيمية، صاحب التقريرات العقدية النافعة والمؤلفات الماتعة في فنون شتى. وهؤلاء العلماء يا إخوة نحتاج أن نقرأ في سيرهم ونتعرف على أخبارهم وننظر في تراجمهم، لأن هذا من أعظم أسباب الهمة في طلب العلم، والنظر كذلك في جهودهم والدعاء لهم والثناء عليهم بما يستحقونه مما ننعم بعد نعم الله جل وعلا في مثل هذه المجالس بعلومهم وبفهومهم وبتآليفهم وباجتهاداتهم وبمؤلفاتهم. نعم.
Second issue is in relation to the author, and the author is Hafiz Ibn Rajab, who is well known. He is the author of many beneficial books, and he is amongst the students of Ibn Taymiyyah, that well-known author of several books on creed and many other Islamic sciences. Very beneficial and plentiful works. He says, and these works we are in need of, or these types of authors we are in need of, reading their seerah and knowing their biographies, familiarizing ourselves with their writings. This is from the important affairs for the student of knowledge to focus upon. And likewise, that we learn by way of their writings, we are able to learn and benefit ourselves, learning their creed and learning that which they put forth. And we should supplicate for them, for their efforts in spreading the correct methodology, which after the bounty of Allah and blessing of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, it is by way of their books that we are able to learn this creed, and we are able to study and hold the likes of these dawrat and these classes by way of which we're able to benefit.
قال المصنف رحمه الله بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله على محمد وآله وصحبه أجمعين وسلم تسليما كثيرا، أما بعد، فهذه كلمات مختصرة في معنى العلم وانقسامه إلى علم نافع وعلم غير نافع، والتنبيه على فضل علم السلف على علم الخلف. والمتون المترجمة أظن أو عندكم المتون هي مترجمة باللغة الإنجليزية والعربية، فليس بحاجة المترجم إلى أن يعيد قراءة بقدر ما هو إلى التعليق. الأمر الثاني، المتن كبير، وأنتم بحاجة إلى كلام ابن رجب أكثر من حاجتكم إلى كلامي أنا، فإن قرأنا كلام ابن رجب فقد ربحنا ونجحنا وفزنا إن شاء الله إذا استفدنا بما فيه. يقول رحمه الله أن العلم ينقسم إلى علم نافع وعلم غير نافع، ويقول بأن مقصوده في هذا الكتاب أنه يريد التنبيه على أن فضل علم السلف على علم الخلف. والحقيقة يا إخوة أن علم السلف يفضل على علم الخلف كفضل السلف على الخلف، كما أن السلف هم أفضل من الخلف فعلمهم أفضل من علم من جاء بعدهم. نعم.
So the Sheikh, you mentioned that since the book that the message that you have is translated, and there's no need for us to translate the actual was written in the book, we'll just translate the Sheikh's speech. And he says in the book, secondly, it is a very big book, so therefore we are not in need much of the Sheikh's own speech. He says because Ibn Rajab's speech, it is plentiful and it suffices us, but where there is need for comment, then the Sheikh, he will comment, inshallah ta'ala. And so we reached the point when he says that this book, it is regarding the differentiation of the knowledge of the Salaf from that of the Khalaf. He says that and the virtue of the knowledge of the Salaf over that of the Khalaf is something which is clear. It is just as the virtue of the Salaf themselves over the Khalaf. So just as the Salaf, they are more virtuous than the Khalaf, then similarly their knowledge is more virtuous than the knowledge of those that came after them.
قال: فنقول: وبالله المستعان، ولا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله. وهذا من بديع ما يبدأ به الإنسان، أن يبدأ بالاستعانة بالله سبحانه وتعالى، فإنه إن لم يعنه الله لا يعان. ونحن والله لو لم يعن الله على حضور هذه المجالس ما حضرنا، ولو لم يسرها لنا ما تيسرت لنا. فلذلك دائما يستعين الإنسان بالله سبحانه وتعالى في عبادته، في صلاته، في طلبه للعلم، في بره بوالديه، في أمر دينه ودنياه.
So the Sheikh, he mentions concerning his statement wherein he says that he sought the help of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. He sought the help of Allah Ta'ala. He says that this is from the affairs of seeking the help of Allah Azza wa Jal in that which one endeavors to do. He says, because we are in dire need of seeking the help of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala in everything that we do, all of our actions. He says, we must seek the help of Allah Ta'ala. And were it not for the help of Allah Ta'ala, we would not even be able to sit here today and sit in the likes of these gatherings. So we are in constant need of seeking Allah Ta'ala's help in our worship, in our seeking of knowledge, in our righteousness and kindness to our parents, in all of our actions, we must seek the help of Allah تبارك وتعالى in doing them.
فيقول المصنف رحمه الله بعد ذلك، يقول: قد ذكر الله جل وعلا في كتابه العلم تارة في مقام المدح وهو العلم النافع، وتارة أو وذكر العلم تارة في مقام الذم وهو العلم الذي لا ينفع. ومعنى هذا يا إخوة أن العلم الذي امتدحه الله جل وعلا أول ما يقصد به علم الشريعة، فإنه أعظم العلوم وأنفع العلوم وأجل العلوم، وهو العلم التعبدي الذي يتعبد به الإنسان لربه جل وعلا. أما العلوم الدنيوية فهي وإن كان فيها نفع لكنها لا يكون أو لا فإنه لا يكون المقصود منها أمر العبادة، أي لا يكون مجال التعبد هو الحاصل فيها.
The author mentions that these are some brief words concerning the meaning of knowledge and its classification into beneficial knowledge and that which is not beneficial. The Shaykh says that we must know that the knowledge that Allah Ta'ala He has imparted upon us, yani that the utmost and the primary intent behind that is knowledge that of the legislation. It's the best and most virtuous type of knowledge. It is that by way of which one worships Allah Ta'ala. As for knowledge of the affairs of the dunya, he says, even though the knowledge of the affairs of the dunya are beneficial, this is not what is intended when we utilize this term knowledge that is beneficial. This is not what is intended.
والعلم النافع هو بنفسه أقسام، وينتظم العلم النافع في أمر واحد وهو ما يقربك إلى الله جل وعلا. ثم هذا الذي يقربك إلى الله له أضرب من العلم: علم العقيدة، علم التفسير، علم الفقه، وعلوم الآلة التي توصل إلى فهم علوم المقاصد، إلى غير ذلك من العلوم.
He says that moreover, he says that this knowledge that is beneficial, that it in and of itself, it is categorized into different categories. Beneficial knowledge, it is separated into various categories. He says, generally speaking, you find that knowledge that is beneficial, it is that knowledge that will bring you near to Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. And then thereafter, it is categorized into different types. So you have, for example, knowledge of aqidah, knowledge of tafsir, knowledge of fiqh. Do you have the higher branches of knowledge by way of which one arrives at the objectives of the legislation?
والعلم باعتبار مصدره هو على ثلاث مصادر. أما الأول فهو علم الكتاب القرآن وما يتفرع عنه من العلوم، وأما الآخر فهو علم السنة وما يتفرع عنه من العلوم، وأما الثالث فهو آثار الصحابة رضي الله عنهم وأرضاهم، فإن فهمهم وحسن معرفتهم لدلالات الكتاب والسنة أمر لازم. ولذلك ربنا قال: ومن يشاقق الرسول من بعد ما تبين له الهدى ويتبع غير سبيل المؤمنين نوله ما تولى ونصله جهنم وساءت مصيرا. فدل هذا على أن اتباع طريقة الصحابة رضي الله عنهم وأرضاهم أمر واجب. ولذلك قال القائل: العلم قال الله، قال رسوله، قال الصحابة، هم أولو العرفان. نعم.
The Sheikh, he mentions that knowledge is in relation to the sources of it. It is of three sources. It has three sources. The first source of knowledge, it is the book, meaning the Quran, the book of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, and whatever branches out from that. The second source of knowledge, it is the Sunnah, and whatever branches out from that. And the third source of knowledge, it is the narrations of the Sahaba. Because the Sahaba, their faham, their understanding and their awareness, it is the best type of understanding and awareness of the Book of Allah and the Sunnah of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So therefore it is lazim, it is something which is binding upon us that we implement and we take the understanding. Due to this, Allah ta'ala mentioned inside of his book that whoever opposes the Messenger after the right path has been made clear to him and he follows a way other than the way of the believers, we're going to keep him in a path he has chosen for himself and land him in the hellfire, and what an evil destination that is. So Shaykh says that, so this verse, it is a proof that it is binding and incumbent upon us to follow the way of the Sahaba. Due to this, it has been poeticized that that knowledge, it is Allah said, the Messenger said, and the Sahaba said, those people who had good understanding.
ثم ذكر المصنف رحمه الله أمثلة على العلم النافع. قال: فأما الأول فمثل قوله تعالى: قل هل يستوي الذين يعلمون والذين لا يعلمون. وقال: شهد الله أنه لا إله إلا هو والملائكة وأولو العلم قائما بالقسط. وقول الله جل وعلا: وقل رب زدني علما إنما يخشى الله من عباده العلماء. قال: وما قص الله سبحانه وتعالى من قصة آدم وتعليمه الأسماء وعرضهم على الملائكة وقولهم: سبحانك لا علم لنا إلا ما علمتنا إنك أنت العليم الحكيم. وما قص الله جل وعلا من قصة موسى عليه الصلاة والسلام وقوله للخضر: هل أتبعك على أن تعلمني مما علمت رشدا. فهذا هو العلم النافع. ذكر مجموعة من الآيات، ولو توقفنا عند كل آية وما فيها من المنافع والفوائد لطال بنا المقام، لكن المقصود بذلك أن الله امتدح هذا العلم على اختلاف أحواله ما بين علم الصحابة وما بين ما آتى الله جل وعلا أنبياءه وما بين ما فضل الله به أهل العلم على غيرهم. نعم.
The author goes on to mention, some examples for that which he has stated up to this point. So he says that as for the first type, then the example of that is the statement of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, say, it's the one who knows, or those who know, equal to those who do not know. Likewise, Allah ta'ala said that Allah testifies that none has the right to be worshipped except He, as do the angels and those who have been endowed with knowledge. They are establishing justice. Likewise, Allah ta'ala says, say, my Lord, increase me in knowledge. Likewise, the statement of Allah ta'ala, where He mentioned, it is only the ulama, those who have knowledge, that truly fear Allah. And that which Allah ta'ala has mentioned in the story of Adam and how He taught Adam the names of all things and presented them to the angels. And the angels said thereafter, absolved be you, O Allah, from imperfections or deficiencies. We have no knowledge except that which you have taught us. Indeed, you are the all-knowing, the all-wise. And similarly, that which Allah ta'ala, He has mentioned concerning the story of Musa and his statement to Khidr, wherein He said, can I follow you in order that you may teach me from that which you have been taught of guidance? And he says, and this is in reference to beneficial knowledge. He says, so all of these verses, they point to the same thing. And we're not going to go through every single verse that has been mentioned due to this maqam and due to the time that we have. He says, but all of them point to one and the same thing. And it points to the importance of knowledge, whether that knowledge comes from that which has been endowed upon the Sahaba, the prophets, and the people of knowledge, and that which they have with them, which Allah Ta'ala has bestowed upon them. All of that is connected to beneficial knowledge.
ثم ذكر رحمه الله نوعا بين النوعين، ولكن هذا النوع يعود إلى حال أصحابه لا إلى ذاته. فقال: وقد أخبر عن قوم أنهم أوتوا علما ولم ينفعهم علمهم. قال: فهذا علم نافع في نفسه، ولكن صاحبه لم ينتفع به. معنى ذلك أن هذا العلم علم صحيح، سواء أخذ من علم الاعتقاد أو أخذ من علم الفقه أو أخذ من علم التفسير، وأخذه أخذا صحيحا، لكنه كان هذا العلم حجة عليه لا له، فهو لم يعمل بعلمه. فذكر رحمه الله من الآيات التي تدل على أن أقواماً آتاهم الله جل وعلا من العلم ولم يعملوا به، قال جل وعلا: مثل الذين حملوا التوراة ثم لم يحملوها كمثل الحمار يحمل أسفارا. وقال جل وعلا: واتل عليهم نبأ الذي آتيناه آياتنا فانسلخ منها فأتبعه الشيطان فكان من الغاوين. ثم أيضا ذكر قول الله جل وعلا: فخلف من بعدهم خلف ورثوا الكتاب. عندهم من العلم يأخذون عرض هذا الأدنى ويقولون سيغفر لنا وإن يأتيهم عرض مثله يأخذوه. أيضا قول الله جل وعلا: وأضله الله على علم. إذن عنده من العلم الصحيح لكنه لم يعمل بعلمه. ما ضابط هذا العلم الذي يضر صاحبه؟ أولا أنه لم يعمل به، وثانيا أنه كتمه عن غيره، فإن هذا أيضا يضر صاحبه. نعم.
So then the author goes on to mention something which is connected to the other type of knowledge. And this mention which he states here, it is in reference to the people who acquire it and not necessarily the knowledge itself. He says, and we have been informed regarding a people that they were given knowledge and it did not benefit them. He says, so this knowledge, it is beneficial in and of itself. However, the person who acquired it did not benefit from it. It's in reference to the individual who, yani, he does not act upon his knowledge. So perhaps he acquired knowledge of aqidah, knowledge of fiqh, knowledge of tafsir, and he took it in the correct way. However, this knowledge is going to be a hujjah, an proof against him. He says, why? Because he did not act upon that knowledge. So then he mentions a number of verses that point to this reality. So he says that the example of those who carried the Torah, those who had the Torah and carried it, and then they did not act upon it, it's like the example of a donkey who carries large burdens of books. And likewise, he mentions the statement of Allah Ta'ala when he says, and recite to them the information or the story of the one whom we gave our ayat to, but he tossed them behind his back, and Shaitan followed him up, and thus he came to be amongst those who were astray. He likewise mentioned the statement of Allah Ta'ala, and so he had Allah had caused to come thereafter a posterity of people who had inherited the book, and they took the lowliest portion of that, meaning these people had acquired knowledge but they didn't act upon it, so therefore they took the lowliest portion of that, and as a justification they said that we are going to be forgiven. He says, and if they are given a similar portion, they're going to take the same portion again. Likewise, the statement of Allah Ta'ala, and Allah caused him to go astray based upon knowledge. He says that, and so this is in reference to those individuals who did not act upon their ilm. He says, so therefore, the guideline for knowledge being beneficial is that it has to be acted upon. So these individuals, first and foremost, they did not act upon their knowledge. And likewise, that knowledge which they had acquired, and it was not beneficial for them.
وهل هذا العلم الذي هو نافع ولكن لم ينتفع به صاحبه ينسب إلى العلم الأول العلم النافع أم ينسب إلى العلم الآخر العلم غير النافع؟ هو له جهتان. أما بالنظر إلى أصل هذا العلم فإنه ينسب إلى الأول لأنه من جملة العلم النافع، وأما بالنظر إلى الضرر الذي يعود إلى صاحبه فإنه يلصق ويلحق بالقسم الثاني وهو العلم غير النافع الذي أضر بصاحبه.
As for in relation to this knowledge itself, he says that from one angle it enters into the first type of knowledge, that is knowledge that is beneficial, and from another angle it enters into the second type of knowledge, knowledge which is not beneficial and thus is harmful for the one who carries it. He says from the first angle is in relation to the knowledge itself, that knowledge, it is beneficial knowledge. It is a knowledge that in and of itself is beneficial. But from another angle and the other standpoint, and it is knowledge that is not beneficial but yet harmful to the person. Why? Because he did not act upon that knowledge.
ثم قال وهو يذكر النوع الثاني في التقسيم السابق أي العلم غير النافع، قال وأما العلم الذي ذكره الله على جهة الذم وهو غير النافع هذا غير نافع في ذاته، قال مثل السحر، قال فقوله في السحر ويتعلمون ما يضرهم ولا ينفعهم ولقد علموا لمن اشتراه ما له في الآخرة من خلاق. قال: وقوله فلما جاءتهم رسلهم بالبينات فرحوا بها، أو فرحوا بما عندهم من العلم، وحاق بهم ما كانوا به يستهزئون. قال جل وعلا: يعلمون ظاهرا من الحياة الدنيا وهم عن الآخرة هم غافلون. إذن هذا العلم علم يضرهم، فيه ضرر، هو في ذاته فيه ضرر، كعلم السحر مثلا. فإن هذا العلم يجب على العاقل تركه ونبذه، بل ومحاربته، ولا يجوز له بحال من الأحوال أن يتعلم علم السحر، لأنه علم يتعلق بأمر كفر، ولا سيما في أحد قسمين، وهو ما يتعلق بالاستعانة بالشياطين والجن ونحو ذلك، أو علم محرم وهو ما يتعلق بالقسم الآخر من أقسام السحر، وهو السحر بالعقاقير والأدوية التي تحدث في جسم المريض ما يحدثه السحر من النوع الأول.
So the author goes on to mention the second category, the second type of knowledge of the two categories of knowledge, and this is the knowledge that is not beneficial, but rather it is harmful, meaning it is harmful in and of itself. And so he says that as for the knowledge which Allah Ta'ala has mentioned from the standpoint of criticism, that it is similar to that which Allah Ta'ala stated regarding sihr, meaning magic. As Allah Ta'ala said concerning it, and they learned that which harmed them and did not benefit them. It harmed them and did not benefit them. And they and the one who learned it knew that he purchased with his wealth in the hereafter that which, due to which, he's not going to have any portion of the hereafter whatsoever. The Shaykh says that, and so this type of magic, yani, it is harmful in and of itself. Yani, this type of knowledge is harmful in and of itself. And so sihr, he says that it is obligatory concerning magic. It is obligatory for the aqil, the one who has sound intellect, to leave it off and to stay far away from it, rather to even wage war against it. He says because it is, yani, it is that which will harm the person, and knowing it, it will cause harm. He says, and so therefore, this enters into that first type of knowledge. It is harmful knowledge. He says, and it is due to that which it contains from disbelief. He says, in both of its types, he says, because you have from it that which the one who performs magic, he's reliant upon the jinn, he's reliant upon the shayateen and other than them. And then you have a type of magic wherein one utilizes potions, he utilizes different incantations and medicines and the likes of this. All of this enters into the same meaning of sihr.
ثم ذكر أن هذا التقسيم، وهو تقسيم العلم إلى علم نافع وعلم غير نافع، ورد أيضا في السنة. قال: ولذلك جاءت السنة بتقسيم العلم إلى نافع وغير نافع، والاستعاذة من العلم الذي لا ينفع، وسؤال العلم النافع. قال: ففي صحيح مسلم عن زيد بن أرقم أن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم كان يقول: اللهم إني أعوذ بك من علم لا ينفع. هذا العلم يا إخوة لا ينفع لذاته، أو لا ينفع، هو في ذاته علم نافع ولكنه يضر من تعلمه، بحيث أنه لا يعمل به أو يكون حجة عليه. نعم.
And so then the author goes on to mention how this type of categorization of knowledge likewise comes within the sunnah. For he said, and due to this, there's come within the sunnah the categorization of knowledge into beneficial and not beneficial, and seeking refuge from knowledge that is not beneficial, and asking for knowledge that is beneficial. So he mentions what comes to Sahih Muslim on the authority of Zayd ibn Arqam, that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he used to say, "O Allah, indeed I seek refuge with you from knowledge that does not benefit." He says, so this is in relation to that knowledge which is not beneficial in and of itself, meaning in and of itself it is not a beneficial type of knowledge. Likewise, knowledge which it may be beneficial in and of itself, however, it will not benefit the person. Why? Because the person does not act upon it.
ثم النبي عليه الصلاة والسلام في هذا الحديث استعاذ من أربع، فقال: من علم لا ينفع، من قلب لا يخشع، ومن نفس لا تشبع، من دعاء دعوة لا يستجاب لها. قال في رواية: ومن دعاء لا يسمع. قال في رواية: قال أعوذ بك من هؤلاء الأربع. العمر معاشر الأحبة قصير، والعلم النافع كثير، فإذا أشغل الإنسان عمره هذا القصير ولم ينفقه في الانتفاع بالعلم، والعلم كثير،
ضاع عليه الكثير من النفع، فكيف إذا أضاع سنية عمره فيما لا ينفع وترك ما ينفعه من العلوم؟ فبالله عليكم كيف يخرج من هذه الدنيا على أي حال؟ فقد العلم النافع وملأ قلبه وعقله بما لا ينفعه، فخرج من الدنيا ولم يذق أفضل ما فيها في أمر المعارف، وهو التقرب إلى الله جل وعلا بالعلم الشرعي. العلم الشرعي نعمة عظيمة والله، ولا يعرف قدر العلم إلا من عرف فضله وعرف أدلته ونظر في حرص الصحابة رضي الله عنهم وأرضاهم عليه. فهذا الذي عرف هذه الأمور اشتاقت نفسه إلى المعارف والعلوم، وحرص أن يقضي سنية عمره في تحصيل المنافع من هذا العلم النافع. والله هي أفضل من المال ومن التجارة ومن كنوز الدنيا. يقول السلف: العلم خير من المال، العلم يحرسك وأنت تحرس المال. العلم يحفظك بإذن الله، تبتعد عن الحرام، تحرص على الحلال، لكن المال تخاف عليه، يقض مضجعك ويرهق راحتك ويفسد تفكيرك ويعلقك بالدنيا. نعم.
So then he mentions that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he goes on thereafter to seek refuge with Allah Ta'ala from four affairs. And so he said, after I seek refuge with Allah from knowledge that is not beneficial, likewise from a heart that is not humbled, and from a soul that is not satisfied, and from a dua, a supplication that is not responded to. He mentioned other narrations of the same hadith wherein he says dua, in one narration a dua that is not heard, in another narration he ends it by saying, and I seek refuge with you from these four. The Shaykh, he says that life it is short, and beneficial knowledge is plentiful. He says, if a person busies himself for the entirety of his life seeking after knowledge, but he himself does not benefit from that knowledge, then that which he has lost from beneficial knowledge is abundant. He's already lost, an abundant loss. How much more so if an individual were to live his life upon that which is not beneficial, busying himself and preoccupying his mind and his heart with that which is not beneficial? He says, how tremendous this loss is. He says, he loses in this dunya and he loses in the hereafter. He says, so the individual, yani he loses in the dunya because he has filled his heart with those things that are not beneficial. He says, and he has not, yani he has not busied himself with that which would bring him near to Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala from seeking legislative knowledge. He says, so therefore, none really knows the reality of this issue except the one who knows the virtue and the reality of knowledge, and he knows the virtue and reality of the people of knowledge. He knows what the Sahaba would spend from efforts and time in the acquisition of knowledge. He says, so therefore, one must busy himself with knowledge, because this is something which is a greatly beneficial affair. He says, and the Salaf, they would say this is more beneficial, in fact, than wealth, than business, than trade, or any of that. So the Salaf, they will say that knowledge, it is more beneficial than money. Knowledge is more beneficial than money. He says, because knowledge will guard you, but you have to guard your money. He says, if you look at the reality of people and how, yani, a person may, he may acquire money in abundance, yani, he doesn't really care where he acquires it, from the halal or from the haram, and he has to spend all of his time guarding and safeguarding that money, watching it, safeguarding it, losing sleep over it, worrying about it, and so on and so forth. But knowledge, it is not like this, but rather knowledge, it will guard the individual. So therefore, one must strive to acquire knowledge that is beneficial.
MashaAllah, طال الفصل. نحاول نقلل الفصل إن شاء الله. قال أيضا أخرج النسائي، والحديث في الحقيقة ربما عند غير النسائي، عند ابن حبان والطبراني، أن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم كان يقول: اللهم إني أسألك علما نافعا وأعوذ بك من علم لا ينفع. وهذا يدل على أن السنة قسمت العلم إلى القسمين المذكورين.
And so he goes on to mention in his next section, I'm going to section this part off, he says that in this hadith, it reported by Nasa'i, and likewise it is in other than Nasa'i as well, it is reported by Ibn Hibban as well as al-Tabarani. He says that this narration comes from the hadith of Jabir, that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he used to say, "O Allah, indeed I ask you for knowledge that is beneficial, and I seek knowledge, or I seek refuge with you from that knowledge that does not benefit." This is something which proves that it comes within the sunnah, that differentiation between knowledge that is beneficial and knowledge that is not beneficial.
ثم ذكر أيضا أن الحديث آخر أخرجه ابن ماجة سلوا الله علما نافعا وتعوذوا بالله من علم لا ينفع. الأول ما الفرق بين هذا اللفظ وبين الذي قبله؟ لا بين الذي قبله. الأول هو دعاؤه صلى الله عليه وسلم، والثاني هو أمره صلى الله عليه وسلم. دعاؤه اللهم إني أسألك علما نافعا، أما الثاني فهو يوصي الأمة سلوا الله علما نافعا وتعوذوا به من علم لا ينفع. نعم.
Then he mentioned this other narration, it comes with Ibn Majah, and the wording of it is that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he said, ask Allah for knowledge that is beneficial and seek refuge with Allah from knowledge that is not beneficial. He says that, firstly, what is the difference between this narration of the hadith and the first narration that we just mentioned? What's the difference between the two wordings? Well, within the first wording, it is a dua. It is the dua of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. In the second wording of the hadith, it is the command from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam to ask Allah ta'ala for this. So in the first narration, it says, O Allah, indeed I ask you for knowledge that is beneficial, to the end of the hadith. In the second narration, he's commanding his ummah to ask Allah ta'ala for this. So he said, ask Allah for knowledge that is beneficial.
ثم ذكر حديث الترمذي مرفوعا اللهم انفعني بما علمتني وعلمني ما ينفعني وزدني علما، وذكر أيضا لفظ النسائي اللهم انفعني بما علمتني وعلمني علمني ما ينفعني وارزقني علما تنفعني به. وهذا يتضمن يا إخوة ثلاثة أمور. أما الأمر الأول فإن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم يسأل ربه فيما أعطاه من العلم أن ينتفع به، وأما الأمر الثاني فإنه يسأل الله جل وعلا أن يعلمه أيضا ما لم يتعلمه قبل، والأمر الثالث أن يزيده علما، وهذا يؤكد أمر الانتفاع بالعلم.
So he goes on to mention the verse, a hadith that is reported by Tirmidhi from the hadith of Abu Huraira, that he said the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he used to say, O Allah, benefit me from that which you have taught me, and teach me that which will benefit me, and increase me in knowledge. He likewise mentioned the hadith that is reported by Tirmidhi from the hadith of Anas, that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to supplicate, saying, O Allah, benefit me from that which you have taught me, and teach me that which is beneficial to me, and provide me with knowledge by way of which you benefit me. He said these narrations contain three matters. The first matter is that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to ask his Lord for beneficial knowledge, or knowledge that is beneficial. The second matter that it contains is that the Prophet alayhi wasalam, he asked Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala to teach him that which he had not previously taught him. And the third affair that it contains is the request for an increase of knowledge. He says, so all of this, it shows the importance of benefiting, striving to benefit from one's knowledge.
نعم ثم ذكر حديثا عن أبي نعيم من حديث أنس أن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم كان يقول اللهم إنا نسألك إيمانا دائما فرب إيمان غير دائم، وأسألك علما نافعا فرب علم غير نافع. والحديث ليس في السنن أو المسانيد المشهورة، فالله أعلم بصحته. ثم أيضا ذكر حديث أبي داود أن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم قال إن من البيان سحرا وإن من العلم جهلا. الفقرة الأولى صحيحة، إن من البيان سحرا، وهي في الصحيح وفي السنن كذلك، وأما اللفظ الثانية فلا تصح عن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم. نعم.
So then he goes on to mention that which comes being reported by Abu Nu'aym from the hadith of Anas, that the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم was supplicating, saying, O Allah, indeed I ask you for iman that is perpetual, for indeed some iman is not perpetual. And I ask you for knowledge that is beneficial, for indeed some knowledge is not beneficial. He says that, now this hadith, it is not within the sunan of the Masani, so Allah Ta'ala knows best regarding the authenticity of this narration. He goes on to mention thereafter that which is reported by Abu Dawood from the hadith of Abu Raida, that he said, that the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, indeed some eloquent speech is magical. and indeed some knowledge is in fact ignorance. He says, as for the first portion of the narration, then that portion of the narration, indeed some eloquent speech is magic or magical, this is authentic. As it relates to the second statement, that indeed some knowledge is in fact ignorance, then that is not authentic.
ثم فسر اللفظة الضعيفة قال إن من العلم جهلا أن يتكلف العالم إلى علمه ما لم يعلم فيجهله أو فيجهله ها يا إخوة فيجهله ذلك أو فيجهله ذلك.
So then he goes on to explain the portion of the narration that is not authentic, for he says that in relation to the knowledge that is in fact ignorance, that it is when the alim, the one who knows that knowledge, he ascribes to his knowledge that he has that which he in fact does not know. So therefore, either that knowledge makes him ignorant or he is ignorant.
أعطيتهم السؤال؟ طيب الجواب فيجهله أي يصير جاهلا لماذا؟ لأنه نسب إلى نفسه علما لا يعرفه وهذا ما يسمى عند أهل العلم بماذا؟ بالتعالم أو ما قد يسمى بالجهل المركب يعني هو جاهل ولا يقول أنا جاهل يدعي علم ما لم يعرف فهذا ينقص من قدر الإنسان فالإنسان لا يتكلم في كل شيء قالوا من تكلم في كل أمر فهو مجنون نعم كريزي ها؟
So the Sheikh, he said that this was a question. In fact, يعني, is it that يعني, he's going to be ignorant actually, or he's going to, you know, he's going to be deemed to be ignorant? He says, in reality, this is going to make him ignorant. He's going to be ignorant. He says, because the reality is that يعني, he is trying to claim something, some knowledge that he in reality does not have. He says, so therefore, he's going to be ignorant by way of it, and people will deem him to be ignorant. He says, so this is what is referred to as ta'alam, a person who feigns knowledge. He feigns knowledge. He says they also refer to that as jahl murakkab, or aggravated, compounded ignorance. He said because a person is ignorant, and instead of him saying that he's ignorant, he doesn't know, he's going to try to claim that he knows something that in reality he does not know. So therefore, and he will begin to speak regarding things that he has no knowledge of. He will speak regarding everything. As has been stated, that the one who speaks regarding every subject matter and answers every question presented to him, he is crazy. He's majnun.
ثم ذكر تفسيرا آخر لمعنى إن من العلم جهلا قال ويفسر أيضا بأن العلم الذي يضر أو بأن العلم الذي يضر ولا ينفع جهل لأن الجهل به خير من العلم به وهذا هو التفريق يا إخوة بين الجهل البسيط والجهل المركب الجهل البسيط شخص تقول له ما حكم كذا يقول لك الله أعلم هو جاهل بهذا الأمر أليس كذلك هو جاهل به لكن هذا الجهل لا يذم به صاحبه أما الجهل الآخر فهو الجهل المركب الذي تقول له ما حكم كذا فيقول نعم هذا أعرف هذه المسألة حكمها كذا وكذا من كيسه من جيبه فهذا بارك الله فيكم جاهل وجهله مركب فالجهل الأول البسيط خير صاحبه خير من صاحب الجهل المركب نعم.
Then he goes on to bring another explanation for this phrase that indeed some knowledge is ignorance. He says that it has also been explained that that's the knowledge that harms an individual and it's not benefit. Then that is ignorance. Then that is ignorance. He says because يعني, this type of knowledge that is harmful and it's not benefit, then ignorance of it is better than having knowledge of it. Not knowing it is better than actually knowing it. He says, so due to this, you find that the scholars have divided ignorance into jahlun basit wa jahlun murakkab. يعني, you have slight ignorance and then you have that aggravated compounded ignorance that we mentioned earlier. He says as it relates to slight ignorance, it's when an individual he's asked regarding something and he says, I don't know. Allah knows best what the ruling is. He says, this person is ignorant of it, correct? He says, but that ignorance of that matter is better than him actually if he had known it. He says that then you have the jahla murakkab, you know, the aggravated compound ignorance. So if an individual he's asked about the ruling of something, he says, Naam, I know the ruling. The ruling is such and such. And he begins to speak even though he doesn't know. He says he begins to speak, as the Shaykh says, he pulls it out of a bag or he pulls it out of his pocket and he begins to speak regarding these issues. He says, so without doubt, the first person, him not knowing the issue, does not harm him at all. It does not harm him at all. So this is slight ignorance. But the first, but the second person, the one who has jahl munakkab, this aggravated, compounded ignorance, then the one who has jahl basit, he's much better than the one who has jahl munakkab.
ومن العلم أو العلم الضار لصاحبه ما قد أشار إليه وأكده هنا قال فإذا كان الجهل به خيرا منه فهو شر من الجهل وهذا كالسحر وغيره من العلوم المضرة في الدين إذن عندنا أن الإنسان يأخذ من العلم ما يضره أو يدعي من العلم ما لم يعلمه أو أن يكون عنده من العلم ما لا ينتفع به فهذه أنواع ثلاثة كلها مضرة لصاحبها.
Now, so he says that this is because ignorance of this affair, it is something, or it is better than having knowledge of it. So therefore, if the person is, if this ignorance that a person has is better, then the knowledge of that thing is more evil than being ignorant of it. He says, and this is similar to magic, for example, and other than it from the ulum, those sciences and branches of knowledge that are harmful to one's religion or to one's dunya. He says, so therefore, from knowledge you have those things that are harmful, and such as knowledge that is not beneficial, or the knowledge that a person may have that he is feigning, acting as though he has knowledge, which in reality he does not have. These are three types of affairs that are harmful to the person.
نقف إن شاء الله على هذا ونكمل بإذن الله في اللقاء القادم. أسأل الله جل وعلا لي ولكم التوفيق والسداد والهدى والرشاد. صلى الله على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا.
So we're going to stop here and we'll complete or move further in the next sitting إن شاء الله تعالى. اللهم صل.
بارك الله فيك.
للاستماع إلى الدروس المباشرة والمسجلة والمزيد من الصوتيات يرجى زيارة شبكة بينونة للعلوم الشرعية على الرابط بينونة.net وجزاكم الله خيراً.